It's showtime. Hey, what up? It's old Kenny here with you for a brand new episode of the Kenny Ho Show, and it is so good to be back. Now, before you're like, what the hell, you've been only gone for a week, but that's just the thing. I've been gone for a week. Since the last time I did a Kenny Ho Show, I've gotten utterly ill. I don't know if it's the novel corona, well, not so novel anymore, coronavirus, Omicron version, or just like an old-fashioned cold or whatever, but I have been out of commission. If there is any thoughts in my head, I mean, like, not the ho-ass type, I mean, just, you know, idea, let's say the idea, if I had any inkling of any ideas to... Let's start getting back to working now. Let's start to get back to what I used to look like in my mid-ish 20s or whatever, early to mid-20s. Well, those ideas got dashed down the tube, and the choice of doing those things were taken right out of my hands. Here's what I'm thinking. I don't think it was coronavirus, because yes, did it suck? Absolutely. Did it take me out of commission where I was useless for a week? More useless than usual. Yes, yes, I see the loophole in my wording there. Yes, I was taken out for a week. But that couldn't be coronavirus, because the most recent time other than this past week that I've gotten sick was when I took the second dose? I think it was the second dose. Yeah, I think I was fine after the first dose, but that second dose was rough. I was definitely laying in bed for like a week, and it was to the point where I was having these like psychedelic trippy nightmares and such. These fever dreams. It was kind of interesting, to tell you the truth. That's how pointless and empty my life is. Where... running a high fever, I'm like, man, that was pretty exciting. The next time I can look forward to anything nearly as interesting happening in my life is if I catch the damn disease. But that's just the thing. If I caught Omicron, well then, the vaccine to prevent me from catching Omicron was way the hell worse than actually catching Omicron. Now, it's not lost on me that even if I did catch it, why it was... mild compared to, and I use that, and I use the word compared to very deliberately here, because it sucked. Like, there was a couple nights there where it was actually kind of warm in Toronto. Like, right now, it's like howling out there. It's freezing cold out there. But the first night I caught it, it felt kind of like fall weather. If I wouldn't say springtime, but like pretty like tame, warmish fall weather, and I was like shivering. I needed to wear like three layers, and even then I was still shivering. So it sucked, but it was definitely not as crazy as after the second dose there, where there were moments of delirium. Sure, more so than usual. I mean, one can argue that I think that I still have the slightest hope and slightest idea that someday everything will be all right. I do operate in a way where I feel like someday I will turn it around, get this train back on track. And I'm not gonna lie, I really feel like, maybe not really, but there's the slightest, faintest hope in me that I will find me a Kristen Crook type of girl in the future who will love me long time. So you could argue, running that high fever, not as delirious as I am usually. As I was saying that, I'm like, You know, with my luck, I will meet a Kristen Crook type of girl, like physically, but she'll be like a foreigner. So, well, with my luck, she's going to be Viet. So I'll have to sleep with one eye open, right? But that'll be it. Like, she'll be from some dickhead, like soldier father who just like juked her mom and then got the hell out of there. And so she doesn't speak good English. She speaks like,
"Oh, I love a long time."
What's my move at that point? Am I just like gonna live the rest of my life dealing with that? Am I gonna live a life where, you know, I go with this arm candy to the movies, and every 2 minutes she's like, "Oh my God, Chris Tucker's so funny." Well, in this hypothetical, apparently Chris Tucker's movie career hasn't died. Oh, what would be worse is if, like, every 2 minutes she's like, "Oh, Amy Schumer's so funny. She's so pretty, too." Oh, man, speaking of which, I saw Amy Schumer in a commercial the other day. I almost threw up. She was, like, standing in front of a mirror and, like, smiling into it. Man, I never change a channel so fast. How anyone can find her attractive is beyond me. And funny? I'm rolling around in my grave right now. And you're like, "That doesn't make sense. You're not dead." Oh, believe me, part of me's been dead for a long time. I don't care if that one speaks perfect English. The play is, hell no. Even if the good Lord himself was like, "Kenny, it's up to you and this large and in charge woman to repopulate the world." I'm like, "You mean through science? Like one of us is going to make a breakthrough here and create some sort of system involving chemicals and such that just creates people?" It's like, "No, you're gonna repopulate the world the old-fashioned way." I'm like, I'm gonna start praying to the other guy. What are you doing? But fresh off the boat, Kristen Crook, I'm still debating that. I think I would still go for it. If she looks spitting image, like early 2000s Smallville Lana Lang Kristen Crook, I'm there. I don't give a shit. I don't even care if she were, like, had that really thick accent and every other thing that came out of her mouth was racist. In fact, it'd probably be amazing if we started a YouTube channel. First of all, I'd get eyes on that channel because she looks so good. Like, don't worry, like, I'm going to set it up where the light's really bright on her side and, like, I'm in the shadow. You can only hear me talk. Oh, and believe you me, every single thing that's coming out of my mouth is simply set the stage for her racism. I'm gonna lob it up and she's gonna spike it down. Like, it won't even make sense. She'll be telling stories about how she spent her day, mostly fending off dudes because she looks so damn good. And I'll just interject with, "Fob Kristen, Fob Kristen, what do pandas and black people have in common?"
"Oh, that's easy. They both eat shoots and leaves."
And she'd get away with it because she's hot. People go along with it. Most people, you know, like, I mean, women. Women would be disgusted with her, especially the unattractive ones. But everyone else would be like, "I don't care. I'm just going to keep watching this channel. Oh, these guys are going live on tour? Where's my credit card? And when are they coming to my town?" Ah, yes. The getting up there in age and really pulling at straws dream. Fob Kristen Crook. I gotta say, it's not that bad. She just gotta not talk so much. I hope she's quiet. You know how real Kristen Crook's like really shy, or at least she used to be really shy and quiet? I hope Fob Kristen's the same way. My goodness, if she looked like Kristen Crook, behaved like Kristen Crook, and just didn't talk, I could love that girl forever. I don't know how I got into this train of thought, but here I am. I'm back, Jack. I haven't spoken really in a week, so I'm very, very pleased to be back. I don't think I got Omicron. The only reason I think I got it is because just before I got sick, I went and got a new phone, and I got a text like 2 days later being like, "Oh, so an employee at the location where you visited has tested positive for coronavirus." And I'm like, "Oh, freaking hell, of course they did." And the worst part was, the lady was so thorough. She was so nice and very helpful. So that means I stood in front of her for a significant amount of time. I was there for like a half hour. And also, she was so helpful and thorough. She set up my whole phone. She put the plastic on it. She put the phone case in it. So she touched up my whole phone. So that's why I'm thinking, I'm like, I think I got Omicron, but, you know, I had headaches, but they weren't, you know, lingering and all day long. And I know it was brought on from, or very good chance it was brought on from me just playing video games all day. Like, I didn't even try last week. Usually I try to lie to myself. I'm like, you'll be productive. Let's go record a Kenny Hill show. And because that wasn't even on the table for me, this free show that after 8 years has not exactly blown anyone out of the water. But that's as much as I can really ask of myself. So it's debatable how productive it is each and every time I do one of these. But last week, I couldn't even ask that much of myself. So I just played games all day. So my head probably hurt because of that. You know, extended runs of just like staring at a television set instead of resting. So I think that had something to do with it. And sure, there was times where I had like a shortage of breath, but that I feel like is because my nose was so plugged up that I had a hard time breathing. So I don't know that I had Omicron. I don't want to have gotten Omicron because I don't know. I used to be a very dramatic person and I probably still am, but I'm not the type of person who's like, oh yeah, I got it. Oh my gosh, my life was so bad for a week. I got it. I hope I didn't get it. That's pretty rough. I stayed home for like 2 years, basically. Then went back to work where nobody gave a shit about social distancing. Nobody gave a shit about wearing masks. And I still somehow walked away not catching it from there. But then, like, just going to get a phone. Boom. You've been struck by the old COVID. Dun, 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 dun. But even though it was a really rough week for me last week, it pales in comparison to a whole bunch of people in the public eye. Betty White got pretty close. Almost got to the triple digits. Almost had everybody convinced that she was immortal. But then she died. I never had anything against her. I didn't see her appeal. It's almost baffling to me why she was such a big deal. Like, it felt like everybody was just like, oh, look at this grandma. She can talk. She can walk. She can act. I'm like, none of these things. It's not exactly extraordinary. I understand at some point, you know, you get old enough. Walking's an issue. Talking's an issue. And I suppose acting's an issue. But like, before you hit that point, these things are really no big deal. Like, for years, my grandma was walking. I mean, for years, like when she was old, like when she was easily in her 60s, 70s even, my grandma was like all over the place. She traveled all the way from Scarborough all the way down to downtown Toronto all on her own. Nobody ever made a big fuss about that. Nobody was ever like, oh, look at her. She's, oh, we love her because she can walk and talk and take the bus. But time is a cruel mistress and the Reaper always wins, and now they're both dead. All that walking, talking, acting, it's all for nothing. It's what we all have waiting for us at the end. Nothing. Dude from Comic Book Men, like one of the producers who, you know, I've heard a bunch of times on Tell 'Em Steve Dave, Rob Bruce died. That one kind of, that definitely caught me off guard because he's not necessarily a young guy. I think he was 65 years old. So, you know, he's like retirement age. He's, as a human being, old, I guess. But too young to die. you know, Betty White at 99, she had her fair share. Like, most people don't make it 99 years old. It's usually women because they'll nag their husbands to death. And if they're going 99, I feel like they also reaped some of their husband's essence. You know, they probably stole a good 20 years from their husband so they could keep it for themselves. But sure, I'm sure lots of people would have liked to see Betty White go 100, but hey, I wasn't one of them. It didn't strike me one way or another. But 99's a ripe old age. Like, I hope I don't go 99 years. God forbid I go 99 years. Like, my life presently set up, 99 years, are you out of your mind? I'll be spending like 50 of those years living out of a cardboard box. And I'm a man who enjoys my naps and sleeps at night. Living in a cardboard box, it's the worst type of life, not only because if it rains, it's game over. I gotta go find a new cardboard box the next day. But secondly, because I'm living amongst hobos, I'll be living in fear the whole time. I won't be able to fall asleep. I'll have one eye open with my machete in my hand, you know? A second that hobo comes through my laptop, it's the Wild Wild West. All rules, there's no rules. I'm a hobo at that point. It's a lawless society as far as I'm concerned. What's the police gonna do? I killed another hobo. I decapitated another hobo. I took another hobo's head out right off to defend my possession. What's the police going to do? Upgrade my standard of living by putting me in prison? Wait a minute. I got 3 square meals a day. I can shower. Granted, not using the soap. I don't give a shit. I'm a hobo. I smell like hell anyway. Just going in there, quick shower. And if Bubba tries to make me his bitch, I'm shivving him. My years out on the street, I've learned how to defend myself. I've learned to facet weapons out of just about anything. Oh, what's that there, Bubba? You try to put your penis in my mouth? Let me just slice it right off and choke you to death with it. Granted, when I learned in the streets how to fasten that into a weapon, it was actually a Polish sausage. I found a bag of Polish sausages from the back of a restaurant one time, and as I was cooking it over my hobo fire, 3 hobos tried to jump me. They all met their doom, choking on Polish sausages. I told the police they were gay guys, and they put each other's penises in their mouths and then choke to death. So now, not only are they dead, but everybody on the streets and the force think they're super gay. Mess with Hobo Kenny, will you? What was I saying? Right, Betty White lived a good long life. You know, she got... I mean, first of all, she had like a career, I don't know, like... I remember watching, I wish it was on Golden Girls, right? I remember seeing a clip of that show. I'm like, they all look like they're like 70 years old right here. So I can't say for sure that, you know, she had a great career when she was young. Because she could have been a late bloomer, like a really, really late bloomer. Like she got Golden Girls in her 60s, you know? So I don't know. But she at least had a good half of her life where she was perhaps relevant when she was young. But certainly got to be relevant when she was old. She lived a good long life. 99, like, who's gonna... Like, I would bat an eye if I live 99 because I don't want to go that long. But people who want to live as long as they can, 99, who's batting an eye at that, right? Where is Rob Bruce, 65? I don't know if he was sick. I don't know if this were just like a heart attack or something like that. But 65 is... It's definitely young to die for, you know, regular folk whose goals in life is to get as much out of life as possible, go as long as possible. Me, 65 is roughly actually, that's horrible because, like, I would have had to work for the next, like, 30 some odd years, and then I hit 65. I'm like, thank goodness I can retire. Let the government take care of me. Let sugar daddy come back into my life. And then all of a sudden I get a heart attack and I die. No, if this is going to happen, either I go like 75 or like 45. One or the other. Nothing in between, please. In between is a chump's move. Don't get me wrong, I get that fob Kristen Crook. I'm pushing for 75. As long as she stays nice and quiet. As long as she's like Chinese, as long as she's not actually like Vietnamese or something, like where I couldn't communicate with her in that language. If she spoke like Cantonese, even Mandarin, I'd be like, I can probably learn Mandarin. Although Mandarin's an ugly, ugly language too. Very, very phlegm-inducing. Fob Kristen better be from Hong Kong. Nice little quiet. Because from what I understand, I think they got too many chicks to dudes over there. So there's plenty of thirsty girls and like decent caliber ones too. I matched with one here in during her trip. And the girl must be educated and has money, you know? She was just, like, on a shopping trip through North America. I mean, I could have been being catfished. This could have been, like, a black guy being like, yes, yes, I am a hot girl, yo. Why don't you meet me at this, you know, quiet, dangerous neighborhood, right in this really out-of-the-way alleyway? Yeah, you know? Yeah. Bring your wallet full of money. Oh, yes. I will love you a long time, yo. And I'll be like, I don't care that this girl in this photo is really tantalizing. She keeps saying, yo. Either she wanted these poser girls who's just gonna spit the whole time, you know? And like, walk with like a weird limp or whatever. Or it's a black guy. One way or another, I don't want any part of either one. And he should want none of me, because if I show up, I'm going to use the old Polish sausage move on him. Tell all his homies he died because he was sucking on another man. Yeah, I told you about this girl. I forget her name. But she was a very good-looking Hong Kong girl. And we matched in Toronto, started talking when she hit like L.A., I think. And then she was asking about all these questions. She's like, are you coming back to Hong Kong anytime soon? I'm like, what do you mean coming back to Hong Kong? I'm not from Hong Kong. Like, we matched in Canada. She's like, well, you're going to visit anytime soon? I'm like, oh, isn't there a lot of violence over there? She's like, well, not everywhere. Don't worry. We'll just stay in the parts that aren't. I'm like, okay, I guess so. And then, long story short, she was just like, she wanted it too bad. I'm pretty sure she was not a she. It was definitely a man trying to get my social insurance number and steal my identity or something. Because no way, that girl was too pretty. There's no way she wanted me that badly. Or maybe it is because too many chicks, not enough dudes over there, so they're getting desperate. To love me like that, my God, she must be really, really desperate. She wasn't Fob Kristen, though. Believe me, Fob Kristen, I'm taking a chance. I'm like, well, I'll just start learning how to turn everything into a weapon for real. And if I show up and it's a big black guy, well, I'll just make him eat his own sausage. But I was talking about Rob Bruce dying. Yeah, that one caught me off guard. I'm like, he struck me as one of those guys that was, you know, he hit a certain age and then he just stayed that way. And not like Superman, who's like, he hits 35 and he looks 35 forever. No, this dude, like, I felt like he hit like his, you know, his 60s or whatever. And then he just looked that way and then lived for another like 50 years. It's all she wrote. But for some reason, what's messed up is, you know, he died. And I wouldn't say I was devastated. I was like, oh man, like, that's weird. Like, I was shocked. Let's say that. Yeah, I was shocked. But even more shocked than that was just the ending of a marriage and the ending of not the end of a television show, but the end of a cast of a television show. And that's Joe Gatto, from Impractical Jokers, he announced that he divorced from his super hot wife, and then he left the damn show. That, well, like, that really, really shocked me and bothered me. Not to the point where I was crying. Listen, the crying corner is for, you know, shit that happens to me. Not shit that happens to someone I don't know. Even though he seems like a great person. You know, that's the thing with these guys, you know, they didn't grow up with fame. They got their break really late. They got their break into their 30s. So they seem like down-to-earth guys, and Joe Gatto seemed like he was the principal amongst them. So he must have took it really bad. I have to imagine why he's leaving the show is because he's like, well, I can't do a comedy show because I am so sad now all the time. And I don't know if you've ever seen his wife. I think her name is like Bessie or something. Oh, she's gorgeous. My goodness. I'm like, goodness gracious, Joe Gatto. Like, you give me hope. You know, you're not a terribly good-looking fella, but you seem like an awfully nice, sweet man with a great sense of humor, you know. I have half of those qualities, so maybe someday I can get me a fob Kristen. You know, he's got like this gorgeous, she looks like she might be Italian or Portuguese or something, so like, not quite a Lindsay Fonseca. In fact, not even close now that I think about it, but still, like a stunning looking woman, or at least she was when I saw her on that show. They did a bit where he was supposed to kiss this girl, and then he's like, well, that's so easy. Of course, I'll go do it. And then as he's going to do it, his wife shows up. And then he's like, I'll just kiss my wife instead because can't be in a doghouse with this girl. And I'm like, you're damn right. If I'm unwilling to go in the doghouse for a Kristen Crook who can't speak English, and perhaps even my mother tongue, perhaps she's even speaking the dastardly Vietnamese, I'm like, I'm not going to kiss this white girl on some stupid hidden camera show. I'm going to do 5 seasons of this shit, and then I'm going to sail off into the sunset. So that wouldn't hurt, because I'm like, well, there goes any hope I have that someday I'll be able to, you know, actually marry a girl and, you know, live happily ever after. At this time, it's basically, can I meet a fob Kristen Crook and have a few good years before she leaves me for a white man? You know that's the way it's going down. There's no way. Eventually, at some point, she's going to be like, oh, you know, I like money. And handsome white devil have money. I'm like, just keep saying these things out loud to me. It'll make it hurt way less. It'll make me miss you way less, fob Kristen. And then I point at the white guy. I'm like, you hearing this? You good with this in your life, bro? Best of luck with this shit. I had my good 5 years. I'm out. I remember when I was younger, I was like, oh, Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson broke up. Now I have no faith in love. I'm like, what? In hindsight, I'm like, why would I have that opinion? Those two people have nothing in common with me. Those are two beautiful, successful, rich white people. That has nothing to do with me and my circumstance. Like, I'm closer to Gatto in the sense that he was just a regular dude for most of his life. He was working like as a salesman in some like the shoe store or something, right up until he got Impractical Jokers. That's probably not true, but I've taken part of his story and just made it seem to work with me and my psychosis. But no, he got his wife via his personality and his comedy, his sense of humor, and he made it, you know, pretty big. He's definitely got a pretty decent level of fame, which I don't want. I just want the money, which he did get. He did get the bag at some point, and I'm like, well, if it could happen for him, maybe, just maybe, it could happen for me now. I should be saying stuff like, well, Joe Gatto lost his Bessie or whatever. No, there's no hope for me in fob Kristen. And I can't dwell on that anymore. I gotta move on because yet another celebrity that I actually, well, I guess the first two I didn't really care about. The first one didn't care about. The second one, yeah, I guess, you know, I was shocked. But this third one, even more shocked. How the hell Is Danny Tanner, Bob Saget, dead? 65's a rough age, I guess. Because he, too, were that age when he decided to call it a day. And this definitely caught me off guard. Not that I'm like a huge Bob Saget fan, but again, growing up, I was. Huge Danny Tanner plus, what's that called? America's Funniest Home Videos. Like, this guy was the dude. This guy was the man. But I've never gotten into his comedy. I don't think I've ever seen him do stand-up. The closest thing is when he got roasted by the great Norm MacDonald, the great late Norm MacDonald, with his legendary roast where he took a bunch of jokes from like a 1950s type of humor book, funny book, and he used those jokes, and it's like the greatest thing of all time. But that was Norm being funny, not Bob Saget. But he's definitely regarded in the, you know, comedy scene as someone who contributed to that world. So it's a shame, especially basically on the heels of Normie dying just a couple months ago, because they were really good buddies. And it leads me to think, like, does one have to do with the other? Did Bob Saget die of a broken heart? Like, did losing his buddy make him not want to live anymore? But I don't know. But I think about it some more. I'm like, I don't know how close they really were. Like, I think about my buddies. I'm like, oh, if one of them died, I definitely would not die of a broken heart myself. But, oh, that's a damn shame. All right, life moves on. I got my own problems to deal with. David was a nice guy, but he ain't no sugar daddy Trudeau. It's not like I was dependent on him for a living. And I guarantee you, I'm not even saying now, because clearly now, like, appears we're both dead to each other already, so, but I'm definitely not in his will now. But even when we were, like, super tight, I gotta assume I did not make the list. I did not make the will. Had he died for real and I showed up, like, so what do I get? I would not be surprised if the lawyer handed me the credit card bill and he's like, yeah, he left you his debt. You better believe I'm digging up his grave that night. Oh, he'll never rest in peace. Oh, man, if he did that to me, I would make sure, like, took his body and, like, fed it to wolves so he'll never be in one piece. He'll be wandering the nether worlds in 40 different pieces. Leave me your $15,000 credit card. But how did you even qualify for $15,000 limit, bro? Well, I guess it could have been worse. I guess he could have been real hood, and he could have left me a bunch of cash money and Money Mart type of debt. I feel like at that point, I would go cannibal in myself and just, like, participate with the wolves and just, like, shearing this guy apart. So there we have it. That's a wrap on 341, I believe. And the moral of the day is live your life. Be grateful for what you have. Don't worry about what you don't. Put the past in the past. And just get on with the business of living. Because before you know it, well, at least your family will have to deal with the business of you dying. So with that being said, I have not heard back from SoundCloud whether or not they're going to give me a blue check mark or not. I'm not holding my breath. Like, I went into this knowing it's not going down. But I said I'd give them a month. I think they're down to like a week or two, and then I'm moving the show. I'm not announcing it yet, but I'm assuming I'm moving this onto a free platform that actually gets me on Spotify amongst other places. So again, just keep listening, keep tuning in. I will announce it and then probably wait a few days. So realistically, next week I will be announcing that I'm saying sayonara to the old SoundCloud and moving on to a different platform, but I'll be waiting a few days. So you and others like you who listen to the Kenny Ho Show are really great with the second you see it, you jump on it and listen to it, because that seems to be the way things are playing out now. Whereas a few years ago, people would see the Kenny Ho Show and never ever listened to it. But now it seems like I got a good group of dedicated listeners who all, the second there's a new Kenny Ho show, you can't get to it fast enough, it seems like. So I think, if you do that next week, you'll be good. And even if you don't, just look me up on Spotify, because that's the one I know I'm getting on. This one, again, I don't want to do an ad for them. I just found out, like, their in-house reading of ads that they pay you for, that's only for Americans. So, I mean, I'm not holding out for them paying me to do it, but because they're not going to pay me to do it, I'm not doing it. Looks like it's changed, though. It used to be under them, you can be on every single platform, like Apple Podcasts, and apparently Google has some sort of podcast listening platform, and that would they would throw you on that, and they would throw you on Spotify for sure. But I guess they made changes to that, maybe too many complaints, because people are like, oh no, you guys taking all our credit for our shows. It's like, well, if you're that damn good, and if your show is that damn important, just don't even use this. Go pay your goddamn $150 a year and use SoundCloud, and you're fully in control of nobody listening to you. So yeah, more than likely next week, I'm jumping ship. The only way I stay is if SoundCloud gives me my blue check mark. Then I'll hang out for a little bit. But if they don't, which I'm assuming they're not going to, I'm gone. On to potentially more exposure for the show. It's a careful what you wish for situation. It's not lost on me. Because the listenership that I have now, you seem to not be able to get enough of this show. And you certainly are respectful of me and my content. But I certainly don't expect everyone who listens to my work to be respectful like you are. I remember being a YouTuber and having just random people come and shit on me. I'm like, well, if you don't like my stuff, look at it. You could probably just like never watch any more of my stuff. Like it baffles me because I talk a lot of shit, but for entertainment purposes, but I do not live my life in a, I don't like what this person does. Let me reach out to them and let them know. Well, how does that serve anybody? You're just being a dick. And there's plenty of dicks on this planet. I appreciate that you're not one. I appreciate that, you know, you just let me do my show, listen to my show, and I assume like my show because you keep coming back. But with that being said, I gotta take this step. Because the goal, career-wise, I want to do this for a living. There's too many people who make money off podcasting and social media who suck. Who I'm like, how are they doing it? How is this even possible? Like, okay, I understand like social media when like girls are super hot and they're okay with not wearing any clothes on camera for people. I understand that level of it. But then there's the girls who don't do that, and you thank goodness that they don't do that because they're not exactly camera ready, if you know what I mean. There's plenty of guys who I'm just like, this guy's boring, this guy's lame. How does he have 2 million subscribers? How the hell does he have sponsors? How's that chair holding him up? So when I get over to Spotify, you know, hopefully, so it's a careful what you wish for situation, I understand. But with that being said, not every new listener, or at least I assume, not every new listener I'm going to get is going to be a piece of shit who's going to attack me. I'm going to assume the greater majority are going to be like you, listen to the show, like the show, and come back for more the next week and say nothing to me. That's what I prefer. So I just need to get a bunch more of those so I can not go out into the bitter cold working some job where I'm going to break my back and continue to tell some, perhaps, at least in my opinion, quality jokes. So it's pointless now. Don't worry about any reviews or sharing it or whatever. But when I get to Spotify, like, share, review, unless you're listening to this and you're one of those haters, then don't review. Don't say anything. Leave me be. If it's not a glowing review, don't leave a review. It's skewing the truth. But this is showbiz. This is entertainment. Never mind the truth. I'm building an illusion that everything is just wonderful. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But until then, you take care of yourself, and I'll talk to you next time. Toodles!